Chapter 12. The island was green and yellow and burnt sienna in the strong autumn sunlight that slanted across it from the south, great banks of fern turning rust red and bleeding into the crimson leaves of the briar thicket that rose almost 2 meters high on every side. Enzo eased his four-wheel drive along a bumpy mud track, ridged and pitted with holes, and turned into a metalled parking area by the gates to the fort. Earlier he had missed the turn-off and was almost at Beg Malin when he noticed the high stone walls rising above the thicket away to his right. He had pulled up next to a sign that read, "Danger, trop profond," deep holes on the road ahead. An abandoned white cottage, defaced by graffiti, shimmered in the sunlight beyond a stand of dark trees. Enzo managed a 5-point turn on the single-track road before finding his way back to his missed turn. There was one other vehicle in the parking area, a dark grey Renault Scenic. The morning frost had long since melted in the warm sun, and the air hummed with the sound of insects and the call of unseen birds. 10-foot, overgrown earthen banks ran off north and south, and in the distance where the thicket fell away toward the shore, the line of the mainland was clearly visible across the shimmer of water that separated the island from the coast. Green-painted metal gates stood open, and Enzo walked through them, following a narrow path between high walls overhung with tumbling wild growth. A low bridge spanned an outer moat to more gates, set this time into the wall of the fort. On the far side of the wall, another bridge took him across an inner moat, then through a stone tunnel in a second bank of earth. Stone watchtowers were raised at intervals all along the wall. Whoever had commissioned this fort had been taking no chances with its defences. The tunnel opened onto a large grassy area lined with low buildings, characterized by a series of arched doors and windows. Almost every available wall space was scarred and disfigured by cheap, colourful graffiti, island yobs aping their more sophisticated mainland cousins. The buildings to the right were set into mud banks and covered with grass, presumably to make them less obvious from the air. To the left stood tin-roofed barracks of more recent origin. There was no sign of anyone.
"Hello?"
Enzo raised his voice and called into the silence. No response. He peered into several darkened rooms where further archways led through stone walls to an impenetrable black beyond. Everywhere the smell of urine and damp and decay.